please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Vaxxed from cover-up to catastrophe. It's getting booted from some film festivals.
Everybody doesn't seem to want to hear much about it. It's shut down.
Robert Scott Bell.
The DEA says it will not reclassify marijuana.
These people are like living in an episode of Hawaii Five-0. They're living in the past.
People don't smoke marijuana and beat up their wives and girlfriends.
Robert Scott Bell.
Often heard of the dangers of saturated fats, but could some of those fats actually be good for you?
Do you think so?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
All right, hold on. Super Don, you got yours on? Before I bring Dr. Batar into the mix here, it is Advanced Medicine Tuesday, but
yes.
Super Don, you neglected, because it was a holiday, I'm imagining, to override the normal Tuesday opening second hour with the normal Monday opening for second hour, the special advanced medicine theme.
Well, hold on a second here.
I got to play the busted theme song.
Hold on. Before you try and bust me, let me at least take a look, because I don't think.
What?
Hold on. Because
I can't
we
hold
were
on
doing
much longer.
No, because we were doing Advanced Medicine Tuesday.
That's right now.
Yesterday we did the Paul Connett and Michael Terrell episode.
I don't care about yesterday.
Encore.
Today is advanced medicine. Where's the advanced medicine
today.
Open?
Oh, you're talking about today. Okay, gotcha.
Earth to Super Don. Get on the time zone. All right, Dr. Batar.
Override.
Sorry about that. I had to berate my producer.
What? You didn't override it.
I don't have the thing to override. I have the thing to override?
Yeah.
I warned Dr. Batar that it was going to be a goofy show, and I'm already living down to that expectation. Sorry, Doc. Hey, by the way, happy almost end of the year, my friend. It's so good to have you on board with me, and thanks for flexing to do a Advanced Medicine Tuesday.
You're most welcome, Robert. I was just enjoying this. You guys would definitely do sound like a married couple. You do know that.
Are you doing laundry? Is that why?
Am I doing laundry? No.
A lot of people have been doing laundry tonight while we're doing the show, and they're laughing.
On Facebook about how they're listening to us while they're doing laundry. So.
Yeah.
I'm not doing laundry.
If I did the laundry, everything would come out like totally the wrong color. It would mix, and I'd be like, I broke all the rules, didn't I? Yeah, I did. It's Boxing Day, so what do you want from me? Dr. Batar, the holiday season is almost, it's not almost over. Oh, I was going to ask you this question, because we had a little controversy between holiday, holy day. Holy day is the origin of the word holiday. Is that exclusively the domain of religion, or what about every day being a holy day if you're a spiritual kind of person?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I think that every day should be a holiday, a holy day, because if you can make every day the way you live for a holiday, the way you enjoy a holiday, then it's kind of like goes back to that adage from, I believe it's Confucius, who said, pick a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Every day is a holiday, then you're going to enjoy life that much more. And I think that personally, we should always be in a state of love and gratitude, and that, to me, is the ultimate prayer. Prayer should be for giving thanks, not for asking for things, because if you put that emotion behind there, you resonate at a higher frequency, you will attract whatever you want anyway. I actually, I know you and I haven't talked about this before, but I actually have a formula that I think, since you brought it up, I would like to share with everybody.
Sure.
And that formula for desiring something has nothing to do with prayer. The prayer should be for thanks. And this is you know, the world according to, what was that movie? The World According to
Garp.
Garth?
Garp.
Yeah, Garp.
Wayne and Garth. Right. Wayne and Garth.
That was a good movie. But anyway, so prayer should be for giving thanks. But if you want something in life, you desire something, a lot of people say that then you should pray for it. Well, my formula for desiring something, to make something manifest, is intention plus emotion plus imagination equals results.
Attention, emotion, and imagination equals results. I like it. I do. I like it. It's a great formula.
So you set the intention of what you want. You put an emotion behind it, an emotion that resonates at a high frequency, and then you visualize. You use your imagination to see what you want as already having occurred. You visualize it, and that'll equal the results.
Yeah, you create receptivity, if you will. You become that magnet for it, if you will. And you're not having to, it's not like you're out there fighting the world to get it. It's sort of like you're opening yourself up to receive it. And it's not passive. That's the thing. People think, well, I'm just here waiting around. No, what you're doing is actively engaging in that co-creation we talk about. It's a living thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing. God only helps those who help themselves. So if you're actively participating in what you desire, then you will create it and manifest it. Because I believe that we can create whatever we want.
Yes.
And I believe that intention is everything. And, you know, it's, I shared with you, Robert, a little bit privately, which there's no reason to go into anything more than that, but I kind of shared with you privately what happened over this, this holiday season so far. And I honestly believe that based upon what's happening, that that manifestation was of my creation. And it was down to every specific detail, down to the point that, it's really uncanny, but down to every subtle detail of what you want, you can create. And I think that I created that.
You are a conscious co-creator. There's no question. Even though you've been through some semi-unconscious things recently, and you know, you're in the midst of it, but boy, oh boy, you have bared your soul to the world through the truth about cancer. Those of you who haven't seen his presentation, it's just amazing to witness, and it really moved people to tears. And I'm happy that things are manifesting so beautifully for you. And it's to your credit, again, to your benefit, and to the benefit of those around you, ultimately. By the way, we had a question and comment of the day last hour from Sarah, and she says, please tell Dr. Bitar, as he will be on Tuesday, because she knew you were going to be on tonight, that the tree meditator and her husband say hello. We love him, and he's always in our prayers. And they send vitamin L. Yeah.
Wow. So the tree, okay, so this is really great. Patients of mine, and we had talked about actually grounding. We talked about meditating with trees. And I know it sounds kind of strange, but they actually showed me a method, which is remarkably simple and beautiful, of hugging a tree and allowing, and, you know, you've heard of tree huggers. I'm literally a tree hugger.
He's a tree. So, hey, Dr. Bitar's a tree hugger now. What are we going to do?
Not now. It's always been, well, not always, but probably the last 10 years.
Yes.
I have no idea why, but there's an affinity for hugging a tree. Try that.
It's too easy to make fun of people who hug trees, so we don't do that. We don't take the easy way out because I love trees, and I appreciate them. In fact, I went out to my garden. I harvested 2 strawberries today and had them. They were yummy, delicious. And I know they're not technically strawberry trees, but you get my drift. It's a living thing. And you connect, commune with that, and it's like we talk about healing, communing with nature, getting out by the ocean, go into the mountains, into the forest, grounding yourself, or they call that earthing, right? I walk out in my garden barefoot, and it matters. It makes a difference. So I'm with you there. I love it. And it's kind of cool that the tree meditator and her husband send you their love and prayers as well. It seems to all be manifesting beautifully. Now, are you willing to answer a question of the day for Mark D? He's been very patient.
I'll try. Do my best.
Yeah, not because of you, but because of me and Super D. We keep putting him off, not on purpose, but he says he's going to try to keep it short. His friend has sporadic medullary thyroid cancer. The thyroid was removed. The parathyroid glands and lymph nodes were left alone. She is concerned that the cancer will come back. Now, that's, I think, a legitimate concern, because if you remove the gland that had cancer in it, you did nothing to address the reason why the cancer was there. They're going to have to check it every 6 months. He told her to take selenium, chromium, silica, CBD for anxiety and depression, especially when she's about to go get checked because of the anxiety associated with going to the doctor. But she's obviously, Dr. Bitar, been put on the synthetic thyroid hormone, levothyroxine, and they're saying she's on it for life and because she doesn't have a thyroid. But is there something else a person that has no thyroid can do, or are they on a synthetic? Or can they take some of the more natural forms of thyroid hormones? Have you worked with patients that no longer had a thyroid?
Yeah, actually, we have. And all the hormones in the body they're made from a primary source, but there's always a secondary and a tertiary, even sometimes, source in the body. For example, people know that the testicles produce testosterone, but there are other areas of the body that produce testosterone, even though they may not be to the same level, the same concentration, but there are other areas of the body besides the testicles that produce testosterone. Mm-hmm. So having said that, have we had patients that have been that don't have their own thyroid that have needed some thyroid supplementation, and we were able to supplement with natural desiccated thyroid and or other natural means? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yes.
We have done that. We have done that a number of times, and consistently the results are quite remarkable. And it's not something that is uncommon, meaning that it happens more often than you would think. So many of the treatments for various thyroid imbalances conventionally is to ablate the thyroid, to get rid of the thyroid, to take the thyroid out, to either radiate it and kill it, or to have it removed. And then, of course, there's a need for thyroid supplementation, because now that the thyroid is no longer functional or has been surgically removed, there's some other there's a need now to produce your own thyroid. And that's where this whole problem occurs. The first thing is there's always some remnant tissue thyroid and there's compensatory mechanisms. And then, of course, there's natural means of replacing some of that thyroid. But I'm surprised that the body actually becomes quite resilient and compensates and is able to then compensate its own production of thyroid. So even the smaller remnants of thyroid can go into a hyper-metabolic state and to compensate for the lack of lack of volume of the thyroid tissue itself.
Yeah, so you mentioned glandulars as well. There are homeopathics as well, nature throw. There's a number of options. Obviously, getting back to the heart of, why this woman had cancer, nothing about removing the thyroid addressed that. And that, goes back into, for our new listeners that don't know about advanced medicine or Dr. Rasha Vitar, I just want to say this. The book you should be getting this holiday season right through the New Year's is called The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. Gives you a lot of perspective, and the principles are in there. They're just as sound today as the day he wrote it a few years ago. Did I say writ it? He wrote it. Yeah, I know. I can make up words. It's my show. And Dr. Vitar continues on. Advanced medicine after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
I told you we'd get all serious. We just learned that Dr. Vitar took a red-eye flight from the West Coast to the East Coast and hasn't slept. He's been up working all day, so that's why he's mellow. Have you never been mellow? I think, was that Olivia Newton-John that asked that question? Have you never been mellow?
You should know. You're the one that had the crush on her when you were a kid.
Yeah. Come on. Olivia Newton-John? You remember how... Oh, my gosh. Who didn't have a crush on her? Dr. Vitar, do you remember Olivia Newton-John when you were growing up?
She's a very good personal friend of mine.
See? There you go. Now,
I actually had her sing happy birthday to my soon-to-be ex-wife on her.
Wow. How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's
I'm looking
right.
at this list of the books. It's just crazy. The Jewish, Japanese, Sex, and Cookbook, and How to Raise Wolves. I mean, what is up with
this? Yeah, well, I mean, the first part
three
wasn't...
books in one, right?
Right,
there.
The first part wasn't strange enough, and How to Raise Wolves. What?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So, there were some very funny books. Dr. Vitar is now, I sent him the link on the break. Those of you who haven't read it or missed the first hour, you've got to see the 15 books that are simply on your must-read list that you will never believe that are being sold on Amazon. All right, let's do a second question of the day here before we completely go off the rails, because we already have last hour. And this relates to, is it pronounced Sjogren's syndrome? I know it's spelled kind of strange for the average American, but S-J-O-G-R-E-N. But this is Demetrius, and he says they've been diagnosed with Sjogren's syndrome after chemotherapy for Hodgkin's lymphoma recess. Is there something I can do to heal my body from it and generally heal? I know it's a kind of an open question. We're not diagnosing or playing doctor on radio, but principles. Again, so Sjogren's, is that after chemo? Is that what manifests after chemo for Hodgkin's lymphoma normally?
That it's it's not exclusively seen after chemo for Hodgkin's. I'm sorry, I'm just really disoriented.
Traumatize
children. Seven proven methods to help you screw up your kids deliberately and with skill.
I should have written that book. That should have been my book. I'm sorry I sent that to you now. I knew I would distract you, but it was too precious not to send you.
A practical guide to racism?
Well, if you're going to be racist, you might as well be practical about it. Come on.
Okay, I like this one. This one I'm going to order myself. You guys want to know what to buy me for Christmas for my birthday, whatever? Natural bust enlargement with total mind power.
There you
go. Yeah, because Dr. Bittard needs to increase the size of his already massive pectoralis majors or whatever. So,
oh my goodness. God.
You do all your push-ups, you're good.
Why is Daddy in a dress? Did you read this out loud before?
That one I didn't read. We didn't get to that one. But you're having to read that to your cat, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. There's a cat that's, look at. How strange. This is already a strange show.
All right, help Demetrius. He's got Sjogren's after chemo. I'm sorry. Sorry, Demetrius. It's one of those days. You caught us on Boxing Day. This is what happens. All boxes are, it's way outside the box.
Yeah. How to raise your IQ by eating gifted children?
Yes. Eating gifted children. No, don't eat the gifted children, please.
So basically, Sjogren's syndrome, it's classified actually as an autoimmune type condition, but it's not just seen after chemotherapy, at least to the best of my knowledge. It's not just seen after chemotherapy for Hodgkin's lymphoma. It falls underneath the same category as like scleroderma and systemic lupus erythematosus and in that type of a category of condition. Mm-hmm. And
we need to modulate immunity. You know, it's not.
Exactly.
We don't want to hyperstimulate. The fact that the immune system is active still tells me there's power. There's healing power in Demetrius' body. But considering the chemo he's already undergone, that means there is energy left in the body for real recovery. And so I would say, Demetrius, honestly, read the 9 steps to keep the doctor away. Keep listening to this show. Go back and listen to the archives, because the same pattern emerges. Mineral deficiencies, right? Nutrient deficiencies, toxicity, toxic burdens. We talk physical toxins, but Dr. Bittard has written extensively about the emotional toxins, mental, spiritual. All of these things play out and manifest in the body as illness or ailments. And cleaning up the body of all of those things is going to help regrow, rebuild by then giving the body that which it needs. So sometimes we'll go, oh, y'all, we're saying it over and over again. Well, it's the truth. I mean, you want to make it up? We're not going to lie to you about how to heal. And not even Demetrius. Where's Demetrius from? That's a cool name. Is that Greek or is that Russian? Demetrius. Is it a male or female? Yeah.
Before we go to break, I just want to say, too, that you got to remember, people get classified in certain diseases. That doesn't mean that's what they've got.
That's true. Very good point. We'll be back. We'll be back after this with more Advanced Medicine with Dr. Rashan Bittar on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. The Robert Scott Bell Show. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Back at it, Advanced Medicine on the day after the day it normally is. Whatever that is, doesn't matter. You're here with us now. Even if you're later and you're watching it in delay on YouTube or listening on the archives, we're cool with that. Dr. Rashan Bittar is here. And you can check him out at drbittar.com. Also, advancedmedicine.com, an increasingly growing portal of incredible information, and your ability to participate beyond the public sector to get information you can't get even on this radio show. And you can plug in. There's a special invitation code for Robert Scott Bell Show listeners. You want to take part in a lot of things there. Remember the code 1358. 1358, that'll get you in. That's your invitation code, so it becomes free for you to become part of that. Did I say that correctly, Dr. Bittar?
Yes, you did.
All right. See, we're checking in on each other. Actually, tonight now, we're at this point propping each other up. Super Don, I'll be calling on you next. So let's get back to the questions of the day. And this one is coming from Kelly. Kelly, she says, my friend has membranous, it could be a guy, Kelly, too. I forgive you. You know, some of these letters, words, they're androgynous? Does that, that's not the right word. Ambidextrous? That's not the right word. They could be either male or female. Let me just say it that way. My friend has membranous glum.
What has Robert been drinking?
Not enough, apparently.
Yeah.
Not enough mate to keep me up. I even chewed on a organic chocolate-covered espresso bean before I went there. Maybe that's what did it. Anyway,
that's probably what did it.
I repeat myself. My friend has membranous glomerulonephritis. So you say it.
Yeah, glomerulonephritis.
You say it with a nice rhythm there. I like that. She has high protein in her urine. The doctors say they don't know what causes it. Can you talk about what causes this and what can be done to treat this kidney disease? She's had this for several years and has been treated with chemotherapy and steroids off and on, because clearly whatever that is you said is a deficiency of chemotherapy, right? They also want her to continue her blood pressure medication, not only for high blood pressure, but also for this kidney disease, but this only reduces the proteins temporarily, Kelly. So help Kelly out. How is it the doctors can diagnose it with this fancy term and not know what causes it?
Well, this is the thing. Most medical conditions are, when they have a diagnosis like this, membranous glomerulonephritis, it's actually doing nothing more than describing what they think it is. So the glomeruli within the kidneys are the filtering apparatus, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Nephritis, the first part of that nephritis is a nephron. It's basically the tubing section of the filtering apparatus, and itis is inflammation off. So the glomerular nephritis is basically the nephrons within the glomeruli are inflamed, and it's membranous as opposed to some other type. So all they're doing is describing it, and now that becomes a pathology.
Mm-hmm.
And so they treat that with... Go ahead.
With chemo, here's why it's... I don't even think counterintuitive is the right word, but I'm not reaching for right words tonight, so I'm not going to worry about it. But, you know, I've talked about the kidneys being passively downstream from the liver, right? If the liver can't filter it or doesn't, the kidneys are going to be hammered. They're going to be burdened in more extraordinary ways than they're necessarily designed to, particularly on a long-term basis. You know, you can get an acute assault and you can recover, but the chronic low level, the liver is congested, And I always come back, it's like, do the doctors look at the kidneys and go, my gosh, what's being sent to those kidneys? We've got to look at that liver. And then they look and they see elevated enzyme levels. Maybe they don't, because they're not sensitive enough to detect what we would acknowledge, you know, is just what we're dealing with on planet Earth, a polluted planet.
Yeah, that's true. And then the other thing is that there's certain things that the liver does not process that the kidneys exclusively process.
Mm-hmm.
So metals typically are not something that you see the liver processing, but they get concentrated and build up. Essentially, they build up within the glomeruli. That's what happens there. If think of a filter and think of the filter filtering stuff, and when you look at that filter, it's going to have a higher concentration of the substance that's filtering out of the water as it's coming through. So you would expect that filter to be concentrating the very same substance that is supposed to be filtering out, because that's what it's doing, right? It's filtering out that substance and accumulating it at the filter. And then you mm-hmm. change out the filter and get a clean filter, and then it starts catching. That's how a filter works. Well, the difference is that within the kidneys, you can't just take out the glomeruli and put in a new one. So when there's a lot of toxins that are coming through the body and a lot of burden in the system, not only from the toxins but from what we're doing in to the body, then you end up having an accumulation and a decrease in functioning. So in this particular case, everybody has heavy metals. Heavy metals are being concentrated within the kidneys, where the kidneys normally see one part of mercury and one part of cadmium and one part of lead per million parts of urine. You know, they're saying, say, two or three or four parts per million. So all these metals are coming through the kidneys. They're being concentrated in the kidneys. The kidneys are doing their job by filtering everything. And then the people are taking things like Tylenol, which is going to affect the liver. And so then you have the downstream from the liver aspect you just talked about. Or they're taking mm-hmm. non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that are now creating a direct effect on the kidneys. So now you're taking right. things that are impairing these organs of detoxification, impairing the liver, impairing the kidneys. And on top of that, you've got the filter, the kidney, trying mm-hmm. to filter all this substance. It's no wonder that the kidneys start to fail, and then you start having these weird things. You'll start seeing BUN, creatinine levels increasing. You may end up having 10 people that are having this, but three of them will be diagnosed with membranous glomerulonephritis, and two of them will be diagnosed with early onset renal failure, and four of them will be diagnosed with, you know, some other component that's going to be idiopathic nephritis or whatever the case may be. There's all these different diagnoses that they're going to all get, but they're all being caused by the same issue. So one, we want to detoxify the body effectively. Two, we want to support the organs of detoxification. Three, we want to make sure the body is given the nutrients that are necessary to support that process of detoxification. And four, we need to make sure that any deficiency in nutrients are addressed. So everything comes down in my world to one of two things. Either there's toxicity on board, or two, there's not sufficient nutrients on board. And it's usually a combination of both. And then you end up starting to have these little issues that start to cascade one upon each other until you end up having a diagnosis such as a membranous glomerular nephritis. So we've had people with this diagnosis. We've had people with early onset renal failure diagnosis. We've had people with all sorts of weird kidney diagnoses that come in. We check the BUN creatinine, we start them in chelation, and lo and behold, you know, the chelation aspect is one of the most effective here because you're dealing with heavy metal issues that when you remove the burden from the body, you're also cleaning out the filter. It's a way of cleaning out the filter. You have to be judicious. We start off slow and monitor the kidney function, and you'll see the kidney function initially increase and then actually drop down back to baseline and go below baseline, which means now the kidneys are not having to work as hard. And slowly and surely, the kidneys get clean, the body gets clean, there's a decrease in the level of toxicity, then I supplement with nutrients and the minerals, and boom, the person starts getting better. Not rocket science.
No, but let's be honest, if you go to a what we call a Flexner Report medical school indoctrinated physician with a license, I don't know what percentage of doctors would know what you've just said. If you, you know, like this guy goes to the doctor and they put him on chemo, right? I mean, we're in a heap of trouble unless the physicians change. Of course, they're in a heap of trouble too. But the people are going, I'm not waiting, and they're seeking out doctors who have made the leap to understand the things you said, or going to naturopaths and homeopaths and trying to go a different route, which I think is to their credit that they've figured it out. But I would like to see more physicians go, oh yeah, the kidneys aren't working. Let's not add to the burden of the kidneys and the liver. Let's reduce the burden.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the things that is what you just said. Let's relieve the burden on the kidneys. Let's relieve the burden on the liver. Let's relieve the burden of toxicity upon the physiology. Like I said, this isn't rocket science. It makes total sense. If you are an individual and you're having to carry a 50-pound rucksack full of bricks all over the place, it is going to be a burden. And what can we do to relieve that burden? Oh, why don't we just take the bricks out? Yeah, let's just take the bricks out. And now suddenly you're walking around and it's not as stressful. Hey, let's take out some more bricks. So, you know, the first two bricks could be removing the heavy metals. Another brick could be removing the persistent organic pollutants. Another brick could be dealing with the emotional issues. Another brick could be just giving some more extra minerals so the body can utilize them because you're burning through these minerals. Some of this may be vitamin B deficiency because all the B vitamins are being burned out when a person is stressed. And, you know, carrying this rucksack full of rocks is going to create more adrenal exhaustion. So, you know, you start relieving some of these toxicities and start relieving some of these burdens that the body has and start giving some nutrients, which, again, remember, deficiency in nutrients is also a burden on the body because you're having to work with less. And all of a sudden, the body starts coming back online. So that's why I said it's not rocket science. Just think of you walking with a 50-pound rucksack full of bricks. You remove the bricks, you have less burden, and you can walk better. You can run better. You can enjoy life better. You're not having to carry this heavy load on the system anymore. And that's what it really comes down to, the body carrying this heavy load. And when it can't compensate, that's when chronic disease sets in.
Yeah, I was thinking, as you're getting visuals when you're talking like this, and thinking about, you know, my symptoms, right? Growing up, I would have the skin symptoms and then the inflammation symptoms, the ear infection, you know, on and on and on, and always met with drugs. And I thought, you know, by the time you're talking about, you know, you go to a doctor and you're suffering because you're carrying 10 bricks. Your kidneys are carrying 10 bricks. Your doctor then gives you a load of 20 more bricks. You know, case in point, the toxic poison makes the kidneys work harder, maybe suffer more. Of course, could lead to, what's the end stage renal disease? They kill you, your kidneys are dead, and they put you on what? Hemodialysis, right? That's basically an admission of failure. All right, well, they don't work. Let's just run it through here. And, of course, my dad was on there for like 6 or 7 months, and then he couldn't stand it anymore. He couldn't take it, and he was gone. But the idea here is to remove the impediments, remove that burden. Now, it's one thing when you're – this is an interesting thing that's just visually coming to my mind because you do athletic things. I just had 3 days in a row of mountain biking. I'm feeling great. My muscles are stronger. It's like my cardiovascular, my wind is good. And I was just thinking there is a strengthening process to increasing a burden, but it's different than the weakening process of burdening the kidneys or the organs.
Say that one more time, Robert.
The strengthening process, like when we work out, when we do exercise, we may increase the weights we use because we get stronger, but that's different than putting more bricks for your kidneys to detoxify.
Exactly. Two totally different things. Now, you know, there is an inflammatory cascade and stress on the body when you exercise, but it's a good stressor, which is pushing and challenging the system and helping it to increase its ability to deal with adversity and deal with stressors, which then strengthens it. So you're slowly giving your body mini stressors that help to adjust the body and compensate and make it stronger, more resilient. So this is a key component. Exercise is very good. It does cause some of those things to occur, but it's a beneficial component.
Right, and it's like exercise does not include eating the lead that's in your weights. That's not part of exercise, you know. You lift them, don't eat it. There's a difference. Eat the good, organic, clean foods that'll nourish you, bring the minerals in to replenish the functions that you're relying upon for vitality throughout your lifespan. Hopefully it's a health span, not just a lifespan. Folks, we got one more segment. Advanced Medicine continues.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Rocking the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, we are here. Final segment, final lap. As we go round and round and round, doing advanced medicine with Dr. Roshan Bitar. Again, special edition this week because, you know, yesterday, Christmas Day. Next week will be New Year's Day, and we're going to, you know, delay advanced medicine to Tuesday, and y'all are going to enjoy it just as much as I am enjoying it, and we're all learning something as well as being a little goofy, a little silly, which is fun. Super Don, I didn't mean to berate you about the opening of the show this hour. Just want to make sure you're not mad at me, because that would be just suck going into the new year.
All right, you are forgiven. No worries.
All right, all is well, all is right with the world. We can carry on. Now, Dr. Bitar, there's a couple of stories we haven't hit in depth, but at least we can mention them here. One related to the Physicians for Informed Consent finds the MMR vaccine causing seizures in 5,700 U.S. children annually. Seizures, okay. Second was inflammation drives the progression of Alzheimer's. We've talked a lot about that as well, acknowledged it. But the seizure issue... you know, I liken the brain and gut connection, the damage, the as Dr. Wakefield called it, the novel new form of enterocolitis, an iatrogenic form, as you call it, doctor-caused inflammation of the lining of the gut causing or an aberrant microbiome creating a situation where you had seizure disorders manifesting after MMR.
Yeah, that's a common component. The inflammatory cascade. The inflammation is a mechanism of damage that almost all diseases are involved with. Whether the inflammation causes the detrimental thing to occur, or is it the detrimental cascade allows for inflammation to occur? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Inflammation is a part and process of all pathology. Whether it's heart disease, you're talking about an inflammatory cascade that causes the microvascular damage on the endothelial wall that causes the atherosclerosis to form, or whether you're talking about cancer and the inflammatory cascade in cancer that allows for the oncogenic process to continue. Whatever it is, inflammation is part and parcel of all pathology. So if you look at inflammation as a component that we need to address, and then we start looking at what things will cause an anti-inflammatory cascade, one thing that is definitely very effective when dealing with inflammation is to remove the source of inflammation, which sounds pretty logical, doesn't it, Robert? I mean, remove the source of inflammation. So here in this case with the MMR, you were talking the MMR vaccine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it doesn't. You can replace the MMR vaccine with whatever is causing the inflammatory cascade. You stick in something with all these DNA adjuvants and all these toxic materials and the formaldehydes and the heavy metals and in these vaccines, like an MMR vaccine, plus whatever else is in there, you introduce that to the body. What are you doing? You're causing inflammation. So when you say, well, what can we do about this? Well, let's not cause the inflammation first.
Stop causing the inflammation. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a common sense thing. Let's not give the injection that's causing the inflammatory cascade. And then, of course, the people that are going to be pro-vaccines are going to say, well, we're trying to create the inflammatory cascade because we're trying to prevent the measles, mumps, and rubella from creating the problem. So you have to do that. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to cause inflammatory cascade to that point that's going to be detrimental. You could actually consider giving the mumps, measles, mumps, and rubella virus, or vaccine, I should say, mm-hmm. if that's what you want to do, without all these adjuvants in there, without all these...
Well, they're afraid, as you know, of not eliciting the antibody response, so they're adding adjuvants, like aluminum, for instance, to aggravate immune system response. And that, of
right,
course, is creating secondary inflammation cascades that can be devastating.
Right, and they're saying that that's why they're doing it. But, Robert, think about it for a second. How is giving all these other unrelated substances and ensuring that inflammatory cascade to occur, how does that really prevent the mumps, measles, and rubella from creating the problem later on in life? It absolutely defies logic. I mean, it's like saying that, you know, I swallowed a toothpick, and that's why there's a toothpick now sticking out in my back.
Mm-hmm.
The toothpick didn't go into your back from... Okay, I'll tell you, this is an actual case, okay, in the emergency room.
Quick, we're almost up.
Okay, so we've had a guy that came into the emergency room, and he had a toothpick in his urethra, in his penis. All right?
Oh.
Now, I don't know what kind of weird things were, but the guy said, well, I swallowed the toothpick. It doesn't get in there like
no.
that. No! That's not how the body works, you know?
Sorry! So, wrong answer!
That's what they're... That argument that they're using, it just doesn't work that way.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a...
adjuvants and get...
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a book title about that one, but we're not going to want to read that one. Hey, Dr. Pittard, thank you, my friend. Look forward to our first episode of Advanced Medicine in 2018 next week with you, the day after New Year's Day. Tell them what they need to know, Dr. Pittard.
The power to heal is in
the Robert Scott Bell Show.